You are tuned to KBBI, and this is The Coffee Table. I'm your host, Aaron Bolton, and today we are talking about the economy on the Kenai Peninsula ahead of the Kenai Peninsula Economic Outlook Forum, which will be held right here at Homer next Wednesday. And joining us on the line, we have Executive Director of the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District, Tim Dillon. And we have Rachel Lord here in the studio, who owns a local flower farm, Alaska Stems, and Sarah Leonard, CEO of the Alaska Travel Industry Association, is on the line as well. Thank you guys for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
All right. And hopefully we don't have too much of a feedback issue here. But anyways, I wanted to start with you, Tim. Can you just explain in short what the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District is for those who are unfamiliar and kind of what it does?
We are a corporation based on the Kenai Peninsula, and we have the authority to oversee all of economic development and assist in economic development for anybody on the Kenai Peninsula. Technically, we don't report to the borough, and we don't report to the state. We don't report to the feds. It's a separate corporation. But we have contracts with each of those different organizations. We concentrate on our vision. We have six major areas that we take a look at and we try and assist in, whether it's regional partnerships, infrastructure and technology, workforce and human capital, business climate and entrepreneurship, quality of living, or knowledge creation and dissemination. So that's kind of in a nutshell what we do.
Okay, and you guys are holding the Outlook Forum here in Homer next Wednesday. I mean, where is it at? When is it? And what can people expect that may be attending that?
Well, it's held every year. It's been going on for 10 plus years, and we've been rotating it among the major cities on the Kenai Peninsula. It's next Wednesday, January 9th. It kicks off at 8:15 in the morning, and it runs until 4:30 in the afternoon. It'll be held at the Christian Community Church right there in Homer. It's free of charge. Everything is taken care of, including we'll have a continental breakfast and then a lunch at noon. Everything is free. The only thing we request is that people register in advance. To register in advance, they just go to our website, which is kpedd.org, and go to the events section. You'll see 2019 Industry Outlook Forum. There's a way for you to download the updated agenda and a way for you to go ahead and register. And if you're not a chamber member, you look at the right side of the page. If you are a chamber member, you look at the left side and you register that way. It's really pretty easy, but it's a full day of speakers. We have 16 different speakers and presentations, and as you know, the Kenai Peninsula is one of the diverse, if not the most diverse, borough in the entire state of Alaska. So we have everything from, we start off with Crystal Collier, the head of the Soldovia Village Tribe. We have the Alaska Salt Company, who have been up and running here for the last year or so. We've got Sarah Leonard from the Alaska Travel Industry. We have some workforce development things. We've got the Blue Pipeline, Hillcorp, Rachel Lord and the Alaska Stems. We have Bayweld Boats is going to be making a presentation, which I'm really interested in. A disaster planning presentation, which this has been on the books now for 3 months, way before the earthquake that we experienced around Thanksgiving. Just looking through, trying to get people to start thinking about disasters. And, you know, we do live in an area where we have earthquakes and volcanoes, so we'll do a little bit of a presentation and some planning there. Then we have a presentation from UAA on some economic drivers that they've been looking at from the summer and winter as far as different kinds of recreational things, whether it be snowboarding, snow machining, ice skating, cross-country skiing, all sorts of things. Joe Wooden from hospital, as most people realize, medical is huge on the Kenai Peninsula, so Joe is going to give us a presentation. Kara Moriarty from AOGA, which is the Alaska Oil and Gas Association. The Tyonek Native Corporation, Leo Barlow, the CEO, will be making a presentation. Then we'll also have a presentation from the Alaska Gasline Development Corporation. And then Homer's own John Faulkner, who is now the Deputy Commissioner, is going to give us an overview of what's going on with the Alaska Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. Mark Hamilton, the Vice President of External Affairs, will be doing a presentation on Pebble Partnership. And then I'll do the wrap-up and talk a little bit about the census coming up this next year and some of the things that we're going to be focusing on. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, but it's jam-packed. It's 15 to 25-minute presentations, and they just go from one to the other.
Okay, and you mentioned the census, and I didn't really have this on my list of questions, but I did want to ask a little bit about that. What are you guys focusing on with the census coming up?
We are actually, we've just been asked to coordinate for the Kenai Peninsula the entire census. We did not do a good job as a whole from the state of Alaska or from the Kenai Peninsula in particular last time around. So we've been asked to kind of coordinate, and we deal with every community, whether it's a first-class city or a second-class city or an unincorporated village. So we're actually going to take the lead on it and try and make sure that we can help. Because most people don't realize, but this is how some of the federal funding operates. Each person counts towards the dollars that we're able to qualify for, whether it be unemployment things, things with lower income households, just a variety of different things. So we're just in the learning mode, and hopefully I'll be a little bit more schooled up when I get there next week.
Okay. And, so a lot of this is taking a look at kind of the economy here on the peninsula, and, just taking a look at, KPED's website. You guys do produce some reports on some of the indicators. It looked like 2017 was the year that we may have bottomed out. Do we know if we've bottomed out yet in terms of Alaska's recession, and are we headed in the other direction?
I think we're heading back north now, and I think there's been a variety of different things showing that. You've seen a variety of smaller businesses starting to explore. Our friends from Gas and Oil have been exploring. I'm sure Sarah Leonard will talk a little bit about what's going on in the travel industry and some of the needs and things that people are looking at on the shoulder seasons. It's cyclical, and unfortunately, we were down and now we're heading back up. And I think that this forum, more than anything else, it's a great opportunity to hear all these different pieces. But it's what you do with it after you walk out the door. And that's what's been key. The Blue Pipeline, for example, that came from an idea from the Industry Outlook Forum 2 years ago. And Brian Zack, your retired mayor now, was heavily involved and has been heavily involved in getting that incubator started over in Seward now. So it's an opportunity for people to try and test the waters and see what else is out there and meet a lot of people. It's a great opportunity for you to meet a variety of different individuals.
Great. And I do want to remind our listeners that you can join the conversation by calling us at 235-7721, or you can email us at info@kbbi.org. Please include your name if you are emailing in. Yeah, you mentioned this Blue Pipeline. Can you explain a little bit of what that is? I'm actually unfamiliar myself.
Well, what it is it's an organization now based over in Seward. It's an incubator, similar to what we do here. One of the things that we do here at KPED is we incubate new businesses. If somebody was looking to start a new business, sometimes we house them here because we actually have 19 acres and we've got 9 different businesses actually that are based in our buildings right now, but we try and help them walk through all the permitting, the business aspect, the financial part, all the different things that they need help with. When it comes to the blue economy, working with our oceans, it's a little bit different, and there's been some folks that have had some interest in things, whether it be the mariculture folks, whether it be some of the seaweed, you know, growing, you know, all the different things. So there's an organization now. It's a 501c3, so it's a nonprofit. Their new executive director, Justin Sternberg, is going to be here to kind of talk a little bit about some of the different projects they're working with and some of the ideas and concepts. As you know, there's things going on over there in Homer, too. You know, the mariculture folks are really doing a great job. In fact, we're working with them right now, trying to help them. I've learned about what a flopsy was 2 years ago. Didn't have a clue what it was, but a flopsy is the mechanism or the piece of equipment that helps develop the spat, which is going to develop into oysters, the seed for the oysters. We're actually assisting them right now, working with a couple of different potential granting agencies to help them get off the ground with getting a new flopsy on for their operations. So that's kind of an overview of what the blue economy is.
Sure, and you know, and I've heard a lot of talk about trying to make sure there's kind of a job force to take on some of these new jobs or even these trade jobs, you know, here in Homer. You know, in terms of workforce, I mean, are a lot of the young kids sticking around to take on some of these jobs, or is that still kind of an issue?
Well, we're working real closely to make it not an issue. In fact, we're in the process. Hopefully by next week we'll be able to announce a couple of grants that we've applied for to work on our workforce development plan. You know, currently we have some great opportunities here on the peninsula. Plus, we have some great schools that are doing all the teaching, whether it be the college, whether it be AvTech, whether it be the school district, whether it be the Petroleum Academy, the driving school, all these different aspects. But what we're trying to do is coordinate them all and trying to get the word out that, excuse the way I put this, but people will understand me, we have to make sure our young people understand, even though marijuana is legal in the state of Alaska, if they are dealing with a situation that's involved with safety, which is a lot of these different kinds of jobs, they have to be able to pass the whiz quiz. We've got to do a better job, and that's part of what we are currently doing when we're going out and talking with young people, making sure they understand that, hey, listen, if you want to be able to have one of these jobs, if you want to work in the marine trades industry and be out there on a boat, it's all Coast Guard regulated. You have to be able to pass that test. So that's part of what we're dealing with. We're also putting together a variety of different courses. Like we have the Construction Academy is based here. We are currently taking, I want to say, applications close either today or tomorrow for electric, plumbing, and diesel mechanic. And these are courses that young people and middle-aged or older folks can take to see if they have an interest in it. Before they take that next step, these are completely free, but you have to be able to pass that test in order for you to be able to qualify to go for free.
Yeah, and great. And you know what? I want to kind of move over to Sarah Leonard, who's online with the Alaska Travel Industry Association. You know, and talk a little bit about tourism, which is a huge, obviously a huge factor here in Homer, and on the peninsula in general. I mean, can you first just kind of explain what your group does, what it kind of its role in the tourism industry here in the state is?
Sure, and thanks for having me on the line today. The Alaska Travel Industry Association is a membership organization, much like a chamber of commerce for tourism businesses statewide. We have a membership of close to 700 tourism businesses and partners. And one part of our mission is that we advocate for Alaska's tourism industry on a variety of issues that could impact tourism businesses in the state and in many communities. And then another core piece of our mission is that we manage Alaska's state marketing program. So for many years, one of the priorities has been to strongly advocate for competitive investments in statewide tourism marketing so that we can keep Alaska competitive on really an international level with other traveler destinations.
Great. And you are going to be presenting at the Outlook Forum next week. What are some of the things you're going to be presenting on next week?
Yeah, I'm happy to come to the Outlook Forum. I've been there several years, and Tim and his group is very inclusive of including ATIA and the tourism industry in the dialogue on economics, the economy on the Kenai Peninsula. And what I'll be talking about are statewide data that we have on how the tourism industry has fared in the past couple years. We haven't had the funding to do more current research for the 2018-2019 visitor season, but I will have some basic projections that we have learned and kind of discussed with our partners, whether it's in the cruise industry or other sectors. And then talking about some trends and things that we have been seeing the last several years that are maybe opportunities for communities statewide and on the Kenai Peninsula.
And you mentioned you haven't had the funding to really dive into the 2017-2018 years, but what is the last good data set you guys have, and kind of what were some of the trends coming out of that?
So the most recent data that we look to has been conducted by the McDowell Group, a partner that has done research and led the Alaska Visitor Statistics Program for many years for the state of Alaska. And that has been a comprehensive visitor volume and interest study. We haven't had the funding to do that, but the McDowell Group has, in this past summer, the most recent research report that we look at and that is on our website, it's on the State of Alaska website, is an Alaska Visitor Volume Report for fall and winter. They also have an economic impact study that's recent for the 2017 season. And some of the things that we're seeing are that our cruise sector, Alaska, continues to be a very popular and safe, an exotic cruise destination for travelers. So we're seeing Alaska's cruise sector continue to grow, and they are projecting into 2019, from the last 2 years, a 19% growth in the visitors that they'll be able to bring to Alaska. So they are bringing more ships, they're bigger ships, into communities in Southeast, but also in other ports in Alaska. And that has really driven our visitor numbers to reach over 2 million visitors. So over almost half, or about half, of Alaska's visitors internationally come by cruise. The other things that we're seeing in our non-cruise visitor segment are not as fast of a growth rate as the cruise industry. And there's so many things that it can impact an industry like the visitor industry, like tourism industries, really in any community, because it is such a global industry, because we are attracting visitors not only from the lower 48, but internationally. But one of the things that we talk about in our industry is that with lower marketing budgets, we're wondering how much of an impact that will have. And we're starting to see a slower rate of growth in our non-cruise segment visitors. So visitors that come by highway, ferry, air traffic, we have seen an increase in the past recent year, but over the last 2 or 3 years, the trend we're starting to see is kind of a flattening in that rate of growth in attracting those visitors.
And is there a thought as to... or I guess I should ask first, I mean, historically, were those traditional travelers the bulk of people visiting Alaska in the past, or has the cruise sector always been kind of the bread and butter of the tourism industry here?
I would say the cruise industry has been consistently, they bring about half or a little more than half of the visitors to Alaska. And then the other half come in different ways, obviously, by air traffic through our air partners that bring visitors to Alaska and along the highway and ferry. So that's been consistent. I will say Alaska benefits from the cruise industry's marketing efforts and being able to bring more visitors to Alaska. Once they come on a cruise ship, we often see that there are repeat visitors that then come back to Alaska and might not come on a cruise ship again, but come and visit and do a different experience. So the cruise industry definitely drives the volume of visitors, but there is a whole other half of visitors that do come to Alaska and visit many communities throughout the state.
And, you know, I just wanted to touch on a little bit more, though. I mean, you kind of alluded to it a little bit. I mean, you mentioned the state benefiting from the cruise ship industry's basically advertising the state. And you mentioned that there's been a decline in advertising, tourism advertising for the state funding in general. So, I mean, is that maybe something that's driving this kind of flatness of the traditional, you know, air, highway, ferry kind of traveler?
Yeah, this is the discussion we're having in our industry, and certainly we've learned from other destinations internationally and in the lower 48 that when you don't invest in marketing, and really like any industry, when you're not investing in your resources, you lose market share. And we're starting to see maybe hints of losing market share for certain visitor segments and in that sort of flattening of that rate of growth. In the past 2 years, Alaska's destination marketing funding has gone down 90%. So this past year, we're managing a $3 million grant investment from the state, which we've leveraged with visitor industry investment, where businesses pay into cooperative marketing opportunities. So we have about a $5 million marketing budget that nationally ranks as the second lowest of all the states. I think Delaware is the only one that has a lower state marketing budget than Alaska. And when you look at how we market to visitors that to come to the state of Alaska, we are a long-haul destination. It takes a little bit of planning and education, and so we're needing to invest and be competitive with other destinations that are also marketing to potential travelers. I think we're starting to see impacts, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next couple of years. We look forward to more competitive marketing budgets, and there is a placeholder in the next fiscal year state marketing budget for $12 million for statewide destination marketing. So we're cautiously positive that we'll have a more competitive marketing budget in the next couple years.
Okay, and we do have a caller on line one. Laura, you're on the coffee table. Go ahead with your question.
Good morning. Hello, Aaron. My name is Laura Wilkie, and I'm calling the coffee table today. I'm kind of curious about this new industry that we have in the state of Alaska, and that's the marijuana industry. And I'm wondering what kind of efforts are being put forth by the Economic Development District to encourage the retail sale and growing of marijuana here on the peninsula. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for your call, Sarah. Or Laura. And Tim, I would assume you'd be the one to take on that question.
Yes, we have been involved from day one. We assist a lot of the small businesses, especially on their permitting side of things. One of the projects tied back with the marijuana industry we've been involved with now for almost 14 months is trying to get a testing facility here on the Kenai Peninsula. My concern is that when you have the amount of money that is tied up with and the potential with the marijuana industry, you want to be able to have the testing happen down here too. There's no reason why we have to send things up to Anchorage. I know that we've also been involved with I actually was testifying with the marijuana board here a month and a half ago or 2 months ago on some issues that some of the local folks needed help on. So we're here for any business that is legal, we're here to assist with, and we have been doing that right from the get-go. And if somebody has a question or needs help on the marijuana side, they can always call us at 283-3335, and we would be more than happy to assist them. The only thing that we have not been able to do with the marijuana industry has been we have a small loan program for businesses We're not allowed to use that loan program with the marijuana businesses because it came from federal dollars. Everything else, all the other things that we do are perfectly okay. The only thing I cannot do is I cannot offer the loan program.
Okay, and before her call, we were talking about the cruise industry, and you know, Sarah, is there a reason why the cruise industry right now is so popular? You know, especially with world travelers, is it really just coming down to marketing, or are there other factors leading to that?
I think marketing has a lot to do with it. You keep your name out there, and the cruise industry definitely has the marketing budget. They want to fill their ships, for sure. But I also think that internationally it helps, and domestically. Alaska, in the minds of potential travelers, is still that bucket list destination. It's exotic, and also I think safe. For folks with different things happening around the world, and you know, there still is the perception that we're in the United States. So I think that people, it's an easier purchase to make that trip. They're making their trip of a lifetime to Alaska, and then I also think it's about the experiences that communities and businesses are providing. We provide really quality, great experiences for either first-time travelers to Alaska that take a cruise or for repeat visitors.
And you may, just with the growth of the cruise industry, you know, and a lot of peaks hit in Southeast in recent years in some of those communities, and with these larger ships coming in, I imagine there's a lot of conversation surrounding just how far communities want to go with the cruise industry. You know, I've lived in Southeast myself, and not in any of the major cruise ports, but you know, a lot of the conversations down there seem to be surrounding just how the communities can change once that's kind of introduced.
Yeah, I think that's a really important discussion, and I know besides Alaska communities, that's a discussion that we look to in different articles, and some of our colleagues in different destinations that host large cruise industry partners. We have that discussion at our within our industry. One of the places that I think it's a good gathering point for our cruise partners and those businesses that work with the cruise industry and other members is at our annual convention, which rotates around the state every year in October. But we've been starting to have that discussion with communities and businesses and stakeholders around how communities can manage and work with the cruise industry when it is growing so fast in their community, so that we can continue to offer quality experiences to visitors without impacting the quality of life for residents.
And you know, there isn't like any one person that, you know, some can go to and kind of get the green light to say, you know, this community is behind this. I assume it's a pretty complicated process. And as you mentioned, you trying to get all of these different folks in one room kind of having that conversation. And you mentioned, is that at your annual convention, or are there other places these conversations are taking place, and folks that maybe, you know, even here in Homer should be going to if they want to be having that conversation outside of that convention space?
Sure. Yeah, we have that as you mentioned, at our convention. We have different breakouts, or we have different plenary sessions that where we bring in cruise industry speakers. But I think the important thing is what you mentioned is it's not one person. It's involving all the stakeholders in the community that are interested, or that live there, or that run a business that relies on the cruise industry and cruise industry visitors. I think the important thing is to have that conversation. And I think looking to your community organizations, whether it's if you have a local convention and visitors bureau or chamber of commerce that can help gather folks to have this discussion, or you're a place like the Outlook Forum or the Kenai Economic Development Council, the groups like that can help pull together stakeholders and residents and land managers and businesses to have the dialogue, because I think that's what the important point is to have the discussion and be proactive about what kind of tourism you want in your community. And again, I think that's if you initiate that discussion, it's better than not having it.
And you know, and you mentioned some other growth in our conversation, just getting prepared for the show. And you mentioned winter tourism is something that's growing. If you want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's one of the trends that we're seeing, not only in visitor numbers, but just in opportunity with existing businesses. And also, I heard Tim mention entrepreneurship. That's one of the things that we certainly support for small businesses and other partners, is we want to grow Alaska's tourism industry. So the more and different types of product that we can support, that's just offering even better and different experiences for our visitors. But this McDowell Group visitor volume study that I mentioned that was conducted over the 2016 and 17 and 18 periods noted that our fall and winter visitation has grown 33% since 2008-2009. And that really helps grow that shoulder season, so that we can diversify those economic benefits. We can make them longer term. We like to say Alaska is a year-round destination. I think there's certainly popularity in our summer season, and that's obviously when a lot of our visitors come. But if we can extend that visitor season more and more into being not only we could be not only winter destination but a year-round destination, that only benefits Alaska tourism businesses even more. So we really look to promote those type of opportunities.
Right. And as Sarah mentioned, you know, the latest data we have is from 2016. But Tim, you know, I don't know if you've been working with any businesses or any groups here in the peninsula in regards to this. Are there any anecdotal signs of winter tourism growth here on the peninsula that you've been aware of?
Yeah, there have been a variety of things. In fact, one of the things started out actually down in Homer through you had an assembly member here, Mako, who had given me some ideas with our loan program. And we actually have been able to go to some of the businesses that normally don't open up until May 15th, somewhere's in around there, and assist them with bridge loans so that we can loan them $10,000 to $15,000 and they can start April 1st instead of May 15th. And also at the other end, you know, go into, you know, September instead of shutting down on Labor Day. And we're getting more and more inquiries about that, which has been great. And I'm hoping that continues to blossom. But I think Sarah is spot on. It's a great opportunity for not only the state of Alaska, but especially for the Kenai Peninsula.
And Rachel, you know, we've been hanging out in the studio here, and we're kind of, you know, jump to your topic, which is a little bit different, but also seemingly, no pun intended, but a budding industry here in terms of agriculture. And you're going to be presenting a little bit about that on kind of taking a look at ag more broadly on the peninsula, but also the flower industry.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron, and thanks. Both to Aaron for having me here on Coffee Table, and also to Tim for asking me to give a presentation at the industry forum next week. And I'm really looking forward to it. I really appreciate the work that CAPEHEAD does and the energy that those guys bring to economic development across the peninsula. You know, and I have a small farm with my family, Alaska Stems, and we started in 2012, and we sell flowers. So usually around here, people say, oh, it must be peonies, but we don't. We actually sell all flowers for local markets. And we have one to two seasonal employees a year. And through my time with my farm, I've gotten to know a lot of both the market outlets around the area and also a number of other farmers. So it is my kind of disclaimer on both my presentation and current and right now is that, you know, it's very much kind of a qualitative look at farming from my experience as a small business owner and farmer on the peninsula. And so it's kind of just giving a rundown of the markets and then some highlights of farmers that are doing good work around the area, you know. And so two of the two different kind of areas that I'll be talking about in my presentation at the forum are both flowers and food. You know, so when we look at flowers, we see that over 85% of all the flowers that are bought in the United States are imported from overseas. They mostly all come from via Miami, from Colombia, from Ecuador, from Holland, not from the U.S. And we also see in food, especially in Alaska, you know, when you look at food security questions and concerns, we import 98% of our food from outside, from other states, from other countries. And here in the South Central region, most of that's all coming through the Port of Alaska. You know, so there's a huge point of vulnerability there. And I think that local farms are both really valuable for filling that need of increasing food security, of reducing our carbon footprint, of having, you know, high quality, low miles, you know where your product's coming from. But they're also really great business niche opportunities for folks to be taking advantage of.
And you mentioned it, I found it kind of interesting in terms of the U.S. importing most of the flowers that are sold in the country. And, you know, I had it on one of my questions as far as logistical problems for farmers, but does that maybe present a kind of an opportunity for flower farmers here in Alaska to kind of take advantage and try to grow their market share of the domestic market here in the U.S.?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, speaking for local sales, so less in regards to the peonies, although there's a lot of demand for, American-grown peonies as well, you know, all across the country you're really seeing a proliferation of small, both food farms and small flower farms, where people are looking to try to buy closer to home, keep more of those dollars. You know, whenever you have something that's come from Ecuador, or even here in Alaska, if it's come from California, you know, you have a substantial supply chain, and a little bit of every dollar gets, you know, shaved off to pay for that supply chain. And that's really important, but that's something where when we're both creating and marketing local products and we're purchasing those local products, you know, we're keeping those dollars closer to home. And that's something, you know, one of the parts of my talk is talking about different market opportunities, because you really do need to be diversified. It's hard. One of the challenges on the Lower Peninsula, and really statewide, is we just don't have that many people. So when you're trying to sell things to people in Alaska, you're fundamentally, in my opinion, limited by the total number of people available as potential customers. When you look at something like the farmers market, and here in Homer, our farmers market has gotten a lot of accolades as being one of the best in Alaska. We've been around for a long time. And farmers markets across the country are really fantastic opportunities, really, to be business incubators, to be supporting small farms as they get started and as they grow. Because really, I mean, for a lot of reasons, you know, community is one of them, support is one of them, all of these things, access to customers and growing kind of your brand and who you are. But also that every dollar you make is really direct. You're directly selling to a customer. So there's none of that middle line marketing money or middleman money that's getting shaved off of your end product.
And you're mentioning some of these marketing opportunities. I mean, so you mentioned the farmers market, but are there, in terms of selling locally here on the peninsula, I mean, what are some of the other things that have been helping out?
Yeah, so there's other, so the farmers market is a big one. In the last couple of years, the Alaska Food Hub has also started up. So that's it's ostensibly an online farmers market. So that's another really great opportunity for direct to consumer, where you're getting a facilitated engagement to sell your products locally. Some other opportunities for sales have been with subscriptions and CSAs, so community supported agriculture, where you buy a share ahead of time. We have a number of farms in the area that are doing food CSAs, Twitter Creek Gardens, Homer Hilltop Farms, I believe Synergy does one. And subscriptions. So like we offer subscriptions, so we'll deliver flowers weekly to businesses or individuals who want flowers throughout the season. So those are great ways to really kind of have a good base of a market. There's been a lot of restaurant support in the Lower Peninsula. So a lot of our food farmers and our flower farmers, both peony growers and myself, are being able to sell to restaurants through our seasons. There's also the grocery store. So Save You More has really been supportive in working with local farms and farmers to get products on the shelves there. And then, you know, there's a lot of opportunities for the direct sales to, you know, either on farm. Oceanside Farm out East End Road has a great farm stand that's open throughout their season, where you can kind of come and pick up what you need when you need it. And then there's also been a lot of agricultural tourism and events. And my familiarity is more, I know Synergy's done some garlic festivals. Twitter Creek has done in the past some really fantastic farm-to-table dinners. And in the floral industry, there's been a lot of work with Certified American Grown, which is a national organization. And they put on these five or six field-to-vase dinner tours a year. And this past year, the field-to-vase tour was at Beth Van Sant's farm, Scenic Place Peonies. And, you know, you get these floral designers from all over the country. You get folks from all over that are coming to Homer to take part in this beautiful, elaborate, fantastic event that's really celebrating American-grown flowers. It's celebrating local food. And in 2019, we'll see that tour come back to Homer and be up at Joslyn's Peony Farm. So that's really exciting.
And I imagine we were talking about this over the phone a little bit this on Monday. Imagine that's good, trying to get these floral designers and these other industry folks here in the U.S. I mean, does that kind of help grow Alaska's domestic share in the U.S.?
Well, and that's a lot of, in the peony industry, the folks that are growing, and we have, you know, Alaska has a huge peony industry. The Lower Peninsula, my understanding, has over a third of the farms in the state are down here. So we have a huge peony presence. And the city of Homer is a city of peonies. And, they're growing wholesale product that is going outside, that's getting shipped around Alaska, around the country, and around the world. And so getting that awareness of the superior product that we have here, because it really is a superior product that both, not only does it come in at a time when peonies aren't blooming elsewhere, they're also, you know, everything's a little bit bigger and better and more beautiful in Alaska. And there's a lot of reasons why Alaska is a great place to farm, and peonies certainly benefit from that. And so it does, I think it gains the awareness of those products and of that opportunity. And it also, and it's bringing people here and, you know, kind of touching on the tourism side of things. Another big part of our business is weddings here in the Homer area. So we'll do florals for a number of weddings. It's almost half of our gross income comes from weddings every season. And it's really, I mean, I think Homer's probably for a long time been a great destination for weddings, but it's really been increasing, and we've had a lot of support from the chamber. We have some really fantastic venues, some new venues that have popped up. We have great photographers. You know, there's a need for more catering opportunities down here. But there's a, you know, it's a pretty big industry, the wedding industry. And when I do, you know, wedding flowers for, you know, 250 guest wedding, and they're all from out of state. None of them live even in Anchorage, you know, and that's every single one of those people is coming here to Homer. They're spending a couple of days, and they're not just going to a ceremony, but they're also, you know, they're also exploring, and they're having a good time as well. So it's a really neat opportunity both for, I know Jackaloff Bay Oyster Company is an oyster farm that has done, you know, they'll occasionally shuck at weddings, and they'll have, you know, that as part of their business as well. So it's a great opportunity to kind of plug into that tourism segment as well.
Right. And then, you know, in terms of food, you know, we're kind of talking about the marketing opportunities for the floral industry, but for food, I mean, are a lot of our farmers selling exclusively into these local markets, or are people trying to branch out into the lower 48 and in even some global markets as well?
You know, Aaron, I can't answer that with certainty, except to say that I don't think anybody's selling outside. I think that there's so much expense to getting that product outside, and the dollar value of the product. I think you have to be selling at a scale, and that's where with peonies you get both. You can grow a lot of this perennial plant, and you have a higher dollar value per stem. So whether that's $4 a stem, $2 a stem, $6 a stem, that's a lot more than, you know, a carrot or whatnot. I don't know that you have the market advantage outside that you do with the peonies for anything that we grow really well, carrots, Brussels sprouts, sure, things like that. So, but we do have, you know, our farmers are growing, I think in some respects they're starting to outgrow a little bit of the lower peninsula. And so some folks are starting to look up the road, look into Soldotna. And I know that we did open up the food hub so we'll move products from, the farmers work together to move products from Homer to Soldotna so that folks in Soldotna can purchase Homer grown produce that is delivered weekly to Soldotna, and then with a stop in Nilchik along the way as well. So really trying to at least get up the peninsula. And I know that for us, we've started selling our tulips in the spring up in Anchorage as well.
Okay. And, you know, and maybe I'm just imagining this. For some reason, I remember hearing something about the food hub potentially opening up to Anchorage, or was there a discussion about that?
There was a trial up in Anchorage, and I'm not sure. I didn't keep up on it last year as far as kind of how that went. You know, there's also a food hub up in Palmer, and there's a number of different agricultural kind of marketing distribution channels happening up in the Anchorage area. I think that, you know, everybody, it's a really great group of people statewide, really. There's a food hub down in Southeast as well that are really talking about these questions of how to really support farmers, how to support customers, how to really move product from the farm to the consumer. Because that's one of the challenges. You know, we see all of these small farmers cropping up around the country, and the president of, we're a member of the Alaska, or the Association of Specialty Cut Flower Growers, which is a national/international organization. And the president of the association made a great statement in one of the quarterly publications that said, you know, people ask can you make money growing flowers? And I say, no, you can make money selling flowers. And it's the same thing with food. You know, if you want to be a farmer, the way that you continue to do that is be profitable as a business person as well. And that can be really challenging. And so we've got a lot of great support both here locally, regionally, and statewide for really supporting farmers.
Yeah. And you know, what are some of the biggest challenges and what are some of the big promises kind of going forth for the agriculture industry? I assume we've talked a little bit about logistics, you know, assume that's kind of the biggest one. But are there other challenges that are kind of farmers are looking to tackle?
Well, I think that, you know, aside from the logistics and the, you know, just customer base and the basic challenges with having a business where you're selling something to somebody else, similar to what we saw in 2017, the city did a business retention and expansion survey, and the city asked business owners around the city of Homer, you know, about their experiences, what's a challenge, what's an opportunity. One of the biggest challenges that came out for that was labor supply and having reliable trained labor. And I think that is one of the challenges within agriculture as well. We do have a lot of volunteer and internship style workers on farms around Homer. So woofing, worldwide opportunities in organic farming, has been a huge assistance down here, where you get people from all over the world that want to visit Alaska and they want to farm. And so they'll go and they'll live on farms and they'll work a couple hours a day in exchange for food and lodging. And that has really benefited a lot of our farmers down here. But especially in some place like in the peony industry, I think that's a challenge. You have a lot of product coming on at the same time, and it's not unskilled labor. It's, you know, you have to really know what you're doing when you're harvesting, when you're processing, when you're shipping that product. So I think, you know, reliable labor is similar to other industries is a challenge down here.
Okay. And Tim, I kind of wanted to wrap up with you. I mean, kind of a similar question for Peninsula Wide. What are some of the bright spots looking into this new year, and what are some of the challenges that CAPED's going to be taking a look at for just the overall economic outlook?
Well, I think, you know, there's a variety of different things from small businesses to large businesses. You know, the LNG project is probably the biggest one that everyone has still got their eye on, and there's a lot of work going into it. And whether that goes now or in a couple of years, whatever happens with that, it impacts a lot of different businesses, whether it be hospitals, whether it be food, whether it be hotels, all those different things. So continuing to work with all the different businesses to make sure they're prepared. You know, Rachel made a good comment here a little bit ago, and I can't stress it enough, is the labor piece from a workforce development standpoint, you know, making sure that we have bodies and that people here locally, you know, we keep pushing the fact that we want people on the Kenai Peninsula to be hired first, Alaskan second, and then we'll look outside. But the people here locally they have to have the correct skill set, and they have to want to work. So I think we've got a variety of different things. You know, we've got some great educational programs coming along. I think, you know, whenever you start looking at economic things, you have to look back at your school district and make sure that your school district is performing at a high level. I believe it is. They're under great leadership with Sean Dusick and the principals and teachers that are working around the Kenai Peninsula, and they've been adjusting. I think, you know, we've got a very, very bright future, very, very bright future, and I think we need to keep capitalizing on the things that Sarah mentioned. You know, the not just the tourism industry for, you know, the couple of months where everybody just always thinks of Alaska. They need to think of Alaska as year-round. And I just want to bring up one little point when it comes to marketing. And Sarah does a great job, and her organization does a great job. But people need to understand, just because you're there, you know, and you have people coming, doesn't mean that they're always going to be coming or always purchasing your product. Perfect example is Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola has a huge market share, but guess what? They still market and advertise, and they still spend as much money, if not more money, than they spent 10, 20 years ago. We need to continue to look at that and make sure that we're in the right markets and that we're out there spending the money so that people do continue to make sure that we're on their bucket list.
Okay, well, great. Well, I want to thank all of my guests for joining me. We had Tim Dillon of the Economic Development District here on the Kenai Peninsula, and we had Rachel Lord here in the studio, owner of a local flower farm, Alaska Stems, and we had Sarah Leonard with the Alaska Tourism Industry Association. So thank you all for joining me today to talk a little bit about the Economic Outlook Forum, which will be next Wednesday. And Tim, can you remind me where that is again?
It is being held over at the Christian Community Church right there in Homer. Begins at 8:15 in the morning. Please make sure you register in advance. It's just kpedd.org. And just go to the 2019 forum and register. If you don't have a computer and you need to register, call us. Call us at 283-3335. And one last thing I just want to mention, the young lady that called a little bit ago about the cannabis industry, I didn't want to say anything until I double-checked on my computer, but all of our presentations from last year are still up online. So if she wants to see an outstanding presentation on cannabis, Red Run Cannabis actually was one of our featured speakers last year, and their presentation is still online, and it's under the 2018 Industry Outlook Forum, the past presentations, if she wants to go ahead and go online to be able to see that. But look forward to seeing people, and Sarah and Rachel and Aaron, thank you so much for including us today.
All right, thank you so much. You are listening to The Coffee Table here on KBBI AM 890 Homer. It's been a great time talking about the economy here on the Kenai Peninsula. Up next is Bullseye with Jesse Thorne.